I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start and manage and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 218. Brian is out this week, as is Rebecca. Unfortunately, that leaves me as your sole host for this Thanksgiving edition of the podcast. And in recognition of the holiday and how busy it is, I'm going to keep our usual intro segment short and sweet. Also, we'll hold off on news and questions for this week, but they'll return along with Brian, we hope, next week for episode 219. A few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of talking in studio with two experienced eBay sellers who were in San Jose to meet with leadership and the eBay government relations team. Well, now that the restrictions that were in place because of the pandemic have been sort of eased, at least here on the campus, where we couldn't have guests come into the studio for almost 2 years. Now we have guests coming in, and it's really nice to have people in the studio because today we have two people, and they're on campus. You know them both. Michael Swope. Michael, you were on the podcast when we did eBay Open in 2019.
Yes.
And everyone knows Kathy Terrell. She's been on the show at least twice a year. Kathy, twice a week. It's a Freudian slip.
Now I know how much you're thinking of me, Griff, so thank you.
Well, welcome back. So
thank you.
We're all in the studio together.
We are. My first time in the studio. This is exciting.
Why are you guys here?
Michael? So
eBay Government Relations brought us in as a thank you, essentially, for all the government relations work we've done over the years to help them get their message out and to help them protect small businesses across the country.
Michael and I are both captains, what's called a small business ambassador captain.
Oh.
Government Relations has hundreds of thousands of small business ambassadors, which is great all around the United States. Michael and I have the honor of, we were asked to be captains for our areas, which means one, there's an issue, like recently there was with ShopSafe, is that we're able to reach out and contact sellers, let them know what the issues are, and then encourage them to send emails to get engaged. But we're actually captains, so we sort of help rally the troops in our area. So that's what we're here for, is as a thank you, and to meet each other, because there's several captains here, and to meet with the government relations team and fabulous staffers and executives.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people on campus these days.
Yeah, we've had so much. Ran into Jordan.
Yeah, he's here.
I had a meeting with Adam Ireland this morning. Got to meet him.
Yeah, dropped in today.
Maria Hubert dropped by.
Yep. I got a question because you said something and now I'm curious. What was the issue with ShopSave? What is that?
Oh, so it was a privacy thing. For right now, sellers are fine. It's most likely to come up as an issue again next year. It's one thing we were talking about. I hope I'm not
talking
out of
school. We're hoping we can avoid that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For right now, that legislation kind of died in Congress, and that's where it should stay in Congress.
What was the legislation? I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was a bill aimed to help prevent counterfeit goods from entering the marketplace. And nobody wants counterfeit goods in the marketplace.
Absolutely not.
Everybody is against that.
Yep.
The problem is that bill would negatively affect small businesses because it gave large corporations all the power to determine what is counterfeit and what is not. And that's a big problem because we all know when you give large, greedy, profit-making corporations power, they will use it in a way that is not meant for it to be used. So instead of trying to prevent the influx of counterfeit goods entering the marketplace, they would do it to restrict the sellers who are offering the products that they want to offer themselves and therefore control the sale of
those. It was the
products.
Kind of thing where the large retailers that remain nameless, it would give them more power and then hurt sellers that are selling on marketplaces like eBay. Also, things like displaying private seller information on your listings.
Yeah.
So that basically sort of like you're authenticated. And I'm sure sellers, they may not totally realize, but a lot of the expansion of the authentication programs, which are excellent for handbags, for sneakers, is about keeping eBay the safe, authentic marketplace that it is, which benefits good sellers and good buyers. It protects all of us. So when you see the rolling out of more and more authentication, that's what it's really about, is to keep eBay the great marketplace it is and to keep punitive legislation that it has no reason to be there, because eBay is doing such a great job of making sure that all the products that are on eBay are authentic.
And I always say government relations is the unsung heroes of the eBay community.
They would love to hear that.
You don't hear much about that department on eBay campus, but they do a great deal to protect businesses and small sellers and even the casual everyday seller.
Yeah.
And that's one of the issues with ShopSafe, is that the legislation said that every seller had to publicly post prior to the sale their name and address. And that data out there is kind of scary. Like, that people shouldn't have access to that until after the transaction has occurred.
So did you two play a role in lobbying Congress to make sure that law didn't pass?
Yes.
How did that work?
Well, there was a lot of emails going on, Griff. So what people don't realize is you can sign up to be a small business ambassador, and you can do that right on the eBay Main Street website, which I'm sure you'll, you know, put a link up. And when you do sign up as a small business ambassador, basically, you will be notified of when there are issues like ShopSafe so that you can send emails. And that's what we all did was when the legislation was pending, was to email the legislators and then to encourage other sellers. Like I was posting in my Facebook group and on social media, both of us run meetups, letting people in our meetups know so that you would have as many sellers as possible from all across the United States. Also in all different verticals, so that it's collectible sellers and clothing sellers and tabletop sellers and automotive parts sellers. You want as big a variety as possible and all different sizes to be emailing their legislators, their congressmen about the thing. And that's what we did. I mean, there were hundreds of thousands of emails sent.
And here's the thing. Like, when a congressman hears from an eBay executive, that's one thing because it's a large corporation executive and they're going to take the time to listen. But it's very different when they're hearing from their constituents directly. And that those constituents represent businesses and jobs in their local communities. Yep. And I don't think a lot of times that legislation, they understand how it will affect the small businesses in their community.
Yeah.
So we often, as seller ambassadors, can provide that voice to legislators.
So you've won this battle, hopefully forever, but it could be temporary.
Yeah. We're hoping.
Are there any other battles you can talk about that are looming on the horizon?
It's not so much battles, but there is the whole issue, and I'm sure you've heard, Manor's met with the 1099s. Where there's been things going on with that. And again, eBay Government Relations is advocating to have the threshold on that legislation changed. But for right now, it is what it is. Also, because we're coming to the end of a tax year. So looking at that, things with global shipping, which I'm sure you're aware of, Griff, because I've heard you did some really great podcasts about the Lucid packaging mandates and that kind of thing. With this new international global shipping program that eBay's rolling out, I believe next year they're starting to roll it out first quarter. I know there are some beta testers now that are involved in the program, is that my best understanding, and this is what I heard when I was at the eBay Open studio event in New York City. I spoke with the shipping team. I'm going to give a shout out. I spoke with Patrick from the shipping team, and he stated publicly, so I don't think I'm, you know, speaking out of turn or anything. The intention with the eBay Global Shipping is that eventually things like the Lucid packaging will be rolled into it.
Yeah.
So that eBay will be... And I'm not sure what the term now. I'm going to say the seller of record.
Seller of record.
So that then, Michael, but more importantly, our smaller sellers, Griff, where the Lucid packaging is really a challenge, is that you will be able to safely sell to Germany and you will be compliant with the Lucid packaging because you are enrolled in eBay's global shipping program, which I think is huge win, Griff.
Right.
It's a huge win for the German consumers because they're getting all these wonderful goods, but a huge win for us as sellers.
Anything eBay can do to make the burden easier on small businesses to sell international is key.
Yeah, and I have to admit, confess that the information came out sort of
higgledy-piggledy.
Well, I was thinking something a little less, like, I'd have to bleep it. But
it looked like a Harvard lawyer wrote it,
yeah.
And then nobody bothered to edit it.
Well, and the problem was that I was giving advice on the podcast about it, and then we were getting updates post-production so that, you know, some of the...
It's challenging.
So where we stand right now is if you're a small business on eBay and you have identified it as a business, if your tax number on file is a social security number, you don't have to comply with Lucid. So it's only if you have an employee tax number. The thing I feel bad about is that when I went through the process, I was telling people, you don't want to use your social security number because it's going to be on a public record in Germany. Get an identification number.
An IEN.
But the problem is that if you just have your social security number, you don't have to comply.
Yeah.
So, but I think eBay will take care of all of this.
And it opens the door up for people sort of gaming the system. I think the whole idea of eBay becoming the seller of record, it just makes the whole thing so much easier. You know, my suspicion, we were talking about this at lunch, is you're going to see more and more of this thing in other European countries. It just immediately sets up that with shipping, with the global shipping program, that you'll be covered for any kind of packaging mandates, recycling mandates, which again, takes the burden off the seller. It helps us do what we do well, which is sell
and
to reach more customers.
It also helps with the buyer end of it in that it legitimizes the process for them.
Yes.
They know what they're going to get. They know how, you know, they understand eBay has the seller's back in this way and that it's going to be taken care of by eBay should there be any problems.
Yeah.
So
I suspect this will be a European Union issue.
Yeah.
And then other countries will follow. When you look at the law as written, there was no consideration about merchant size.
No.
So I think that they had to make those statements about social security number. They never even said anything about that until people started signing up and their numbers were on the database and it was public. And I was like, get it off. You have to take your number off it.
The great thing with the government relations team, I mean, Michael and I were talking about, is that it's not about party. It's not about Republican. It's not about Democrat. It's not about you're conservative, a moderate, a liberal. What it's about is what policy is good for small business. What is going to be the most advantageous for small business, and that we can all come together on that and advocate for that. So for myself personally, one of the reasons I really love working with the government relations team is it's a unifier. It brings us together. That's another thing, the great thing with eBay. eBay brings us together as sellers, wanting to sell on a marketplace, wanting to take care of our customers, wanting to make a living or grow a business. And it's what I love about eBay, and it's why I love government relations. It is a force in the seller marketplace that brings us together, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, it is a good thing.
And as a seller who sells on multiple marketplaces, I mean, I sell on a variety of marketplaces. There's no better marketplace than eBay for the community aspect. But one of the best things eBay does, one of the greatest help to businesses is that they allow us to freely communicate with our customers. Yeah. When there's a problem, when there's an issue in a transaction, when customers have questions, we aren't limited by communication. And that's so important in any business transaction that people be able to clearly express themselves.
Yeah.
And I think eBay has done a wonderful job of making sure that sellers and buyers can communicate.
And also to really, you know, shout out for the senior executives. Adam Ireland stopped by for an hour this morning with us, and he asked hard questions, and we gave him hard answers, and we really talked about different things that we're facing as sellers and ideas that we have. He really listened, Griff, and we went into some very difficult things and challenging things. You know, definitely said, you know, this we think is great, this we think is great, but we really went into some stuff that we would like to see eBay improve on, and he really listened to us, and that's what I've really been impressed with. I ran into Jordan yesterday. I had a great talk with him. Marie dropped by, which was wonderful, but all of them were, talk to me. Tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what we can do better. They didn't want, they didn't want like Kathy and Michael just go, oh, yay.
Right. You know, and it's encouraging when you see these eBay executives not only listening to you, but taking notes.
Yes, taking how lots of notes.
You know, and I've seen, you know, Adam takes note, address this issue, fix.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, when you get that response from an executive, that tells you that not only do the everyday employees at eBay care, but their top level executives care too.
So I want to pivot a little bit and talk about business. And Michael, the last time we talked, I think business was pretty good. We're talking 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently a lot has happened since then.
A little bit.
Some things occurred. How's business?
Wonderful. So as you know, as the pandemic, I always say the pandemic was awful for our country. But for us, it was fantastic for business. We sell home goods. We focus on tableware and china and crystal stemware and flatware specifically. And as people were forced to stay in their homes more and more, they upgraded their lives at home. Tableware and dinnerware and focus on family was a big motivator, and we saw our sales increase as a result of that.
Now that the pandemic has eased and people are back out and around, for better or worse, how is that reflected on your business?
I mean, we have seen sales slow a little bit. We expected that with the end of the pandemic as people go back out into traditional retail. But here's the wonderful thing about the pandemic for us that was wonderful is that it forced a whole demographic of buyers. And I'm talking about the demographic of buyers that was 60 plus that may not have shopped online prior to the pandemic. They were forced to learn how to do so during the pandemic because they were the most vulnerable. So those folks learned how to shop online and figured out how easy it really is. And now we've retained them as buyers. And that's a wonderful group for us to have selling china and crystal.
Yeah, I'm sort of addicted to DoorDash.
Yeah, right.
It's not healthy. Sorry, DoorDash.
In our area, there's a company called Insomnia, and they deliver hot cookies and chocolate milk. So
I want to buy a franchise.
Right.
Kathy, what about you? How's business?
It's been very interesting, Griff, because again, you know, during COVID, everything exploded because everybody was shopping online. And I'm in New York City. So not only were we dealing with COVID, but then even after coming out of the pandemic, there was enormous shortages. I mean, you would go into stores and just the shelves were empty. It was a matter of shortages. And also there was an enormous amount of theft going on. people were going to the internet, again, like what Michael was saying, is that would not normally be internet shoppers, and they're buying everything. The things that would traditionally sell with eBay, and eBay does sell a huge variety of items, but let's just say like clothing and tabletop. But it's also going to be stuff like, you know, over-the-counter things that you would get in a drugstore are selling. Some grocery items are selling, collectible. Also, everybody's home. So it's all the home entertainment stuff. It's the home fitness stuff. All of that just goes through the roof. And then you're coming out and things are really changing. So it's really staying in touch with what is on trend. And I think that's the great challenge. What is on trend? What are people buying? And it's something that we talked about before. People are traveling. Because of the fact that we couldn't travel for so many years, now they're traveling. So it's to think about what kind of things do people need when they're traveling. Also, people are partying because it's like, hey, now we can go out and we can get party, which is party clothes, party outfits. People are going to weddings. So it's wedding dresses, things for the groom, wedding guests. But all of that, which is all the things with entertaining, all the things with partying, they're definitely doing. And with traveling. I mean, traveling has become huge. And just to think about, if something slows down, if you see a slowdown in a category, whenever I speak with sellers, it's always like immediately just go and see if there's any shifts. Like, has there been a category change? Do I need to look at my item specifics? Can I beef up my pictures, my titles? And then check your solds. Look at Terapeak. But the other thing is to think, look around. What are your friends buying? Go on social. This is where Facebook can be really helpful. You can go on Pinterest. You can go on Instagram. What are people talking about? We just came off Halloween. They're all buying costumes. What kind of costumes? What costumes are on trend? And also people buy costumes like for kids year round because it's dress up clothes.
Right.
Okay. So they want that fun little costume for later on in the year.
And now as we enter the holidays, we're looking at, like for our business, we're looking at holiday tableware. Yep. We're looking at Christmas ornaments.
Yep.
We're looking at things that people are immediately starting to purchase as we ramp up.
And holidays sell year round. And then you go straight into the new year, which is new year, new me. It's all the reorganization. So again, it's always thinking about what are they buying and then looking for that when you're outsourcing wherever you source.
When you were said earlier about people who got into fitness during the pandemic, I bought a very expensive rowing machine.
Did you?
Yeah, now it's a very expensive clothes valet. You can hang lots of stuff for it.
I always say the fashion sellers who did best during the pandemic are those who sold pajamas.
Oh, yeah, pajamas.
And leggings. Lots and lots of leggings.
Do people wear pajamas?
Well, it seems like as people stayed home, the people that wear the loungewear, like everyday sleepwear and pajamas, it was a big uptick during the pandemic.
I guess they're not just for sleeping.
Right.
Because I can't sleep in pajamas. Yeah. Not that you needed to know this. But
now we know.
Now you know. Exactly. What do you see for the future, Michael, for the next year? And well, let's pull back a little bit. What do you see for holiday?
Holiday is always an amazing time. Q4 is always our most advanced quarter where we do the bulk of our sales. And really for us, anytime people gather around the dinner table, it's an uptick in sales for us. So with both Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners approaching, our sales are increasing at this time of year, like always. My biggest concern right now is the economy. I think people are very nervous about what the Fed is doing with their interest rates and how that'll affect their everyday lives in terms of home loans and how much their mortgage is going to cost. And so it is concerning, and I'm hoping that Congress can help with that in the future.
I know there was some legislation to help with that when it came to capital gains and profits from a house sale. I don't know where that legislation landed.
Yeah, I'm not positive
either. Yeah, probably not going to go anywhere.
But it's, you know, the things that affect everyday purchasing power for consumers are the things that, you know, they got to make sure they can pay their mortgage first and foremost.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So if anything the Fed can do to help reduce those interest rates will only help the economy more.
Well, we could do a whole show on that topic and we won't because it has really nothing to do with eBay. But Kathy, what do you see for the holidays?
So what I really see for the holidays, I've been listening to a lot of things like on financial news shows, which I like to listen to. Is you really have two markets going on. You've got the higher end. This was actually something when people were talking about American Express. So you've got your higher end consumer like luxury goods. And from what I can gather is that that market has really stayed strong. So for people that are in higher end luxury, it's like, go for it. And clearly that's a big one for the holidays. People that are in more middle line items, that's where you really see the cash crunch coming for people because they only have so many dollars to spend and they've got to make it go further. So what I'm seeing for those categories is things like coupons, running sales, doing volume pricing, really being aware and in a supportive way to the consumer that for people, $3 can matter, $4 can matter, $5 can matter. So that doing that sale, doing that coupon, Michael and I were talking about this. We actually met some of the team while we were waiting to talk to you, Griff, that work on the send offers to buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that even if you're only able to send an offer that's a 5% discount, and perhaps for that buyer, they're only saving maybe $1 or $2, that can matter to people.
Oh, yes.
So don't sort of fob that off thinking, oh, well, you know, it's only 5% or, oh, it's only $1. That matters because if they're buying 3, 4, 5 items, they just saved $5 or $6 from shopping on eBay. And you're helping that person be able to provide for their family and be happy with shopping on eBay.
I saw you. You were out here talking. That team just outside the studio?
Yeah.
They deal with Best Offer?
The back end.
The back end of it.
Yeah. Well, I had no idea.
Yeah. Right. They know Perrin. We actually ended up talking about Perrin because we've worked with him as far as the sending coupons.
Yeah, he's so been on the podcast.
Right. Now. We were all talking about coupons. Yes. The back end. So we were getting to hear all about things that they're working on.
So
we're always working, Griff.
I'm getting a little desperate about things I have listed up on eBay and not for the money. I just don't want to cart this stuff when I move. I've started sending out offers, and I don't usually do that because I don't know why. Well, they work.
They work.
Making more sales.
Offers to launchers work.
They do.
Yeah, I tend to give, if I'm going to give an offer, it's a huge discount.
20%. Well, you're moving.
I just don't want this stuff anymore, you know. So,
but you're moving, or you're moving older inventory. But particularly when I'm working with a seller where you've got sellers that their margins are very tight. And shipping prices have gone up.
Yeah, it's different.
And you may still have free shipping, and you may not have upped your price. So you're looking at a much tighter margin. So sometimes those sellers will think, oh, my margins are so tight, and I can't send them 20% off or 30% because then I'm selling it at a loss. So I'm not going to bother. And the thing is, no, do the 5%. What the heck? If nobody takes it, nobody takes it. At least you'll find out. Maybe that 5% offer will move that person, and you get the money.
And here's the thing. You're sending offers to watchers. These people have watched the item.
Yeah.
They want the item.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's your competition.
Right. Unless it's your competition. Usually, their barrier is price.
Yeah.
So if you can give, even if you only give them a 10% discount, or like Kathy said, a 5% discount, you're nevertheless putting the item that you know they already want right in front of them again. With a discount.
And we say this a lot on the podcast. You should not be focused all the time on everything has to make a profit.
No.
In every business, there will be inventory that you're going to
lose.
That you're going to lose and you're going to get your capital back and reinvest.
Right. Yeah.
Those are important. I want to give you the chance to give a little bit of advice to we have one listener that we know of, so we can talk right to that person. Michael, what's your bit of advice to an eBay seller today based on your experience?
For the new sellers, my advice to you is list things. Figure out what works for you. Some people are just so scared to list the first item. And I say I tell this to my local meetup group all the time. Take 5 or 10 items out of your house that you no longer want and list them. You will be amazed at how fast they sell. And once you start hearing the cha-ching from the sales, you'll become addicted just like we have. And you'll return to the eBay. You'll return to eBay to sell more and more.
Yeah. Items. And the nice thing about cha-chings is there's no... They're low calorie.
Right.
So there's no, it's not a bad addiction.
Everybody can use some extra cash, especially at the holidays, right?
It's true. Kathy.
I was thinking of ship globally. Michael and I have been talking about this, and a lot of us here, been here this week, is newer sellers, but experienced sellers too, Griff. Some of them are scared to ship globally. Shipping globally, even 4 or 5 years ago, is very different from shipping globally now. eBay has made it easier and easier and easier, especially with this new system that they have. And if you are a little nervous, that's okay. Jump on a community board. You know, say, you know what, I want to do this, but I'm a little nervous. You can come over to my Facebook group. It's eBay Selling, nothing but eBay Selling. You know, we'll encourage you and support you. Don't listen to the naysayers. There are people that love to, no matter what the eBay policy is, no matter what the eBay thing is, they're going to scare you and say terrible things about
it. They're going to try to scare you.
Right.
There really is no risk to selling internationally.
It really is. And I have less issues. I'm sure Michael's going to jump in on this too. With global shipping, I have less returns. I think I've gotten one return in 5 years on global shipping.
We sold hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of items internationally over the last 3 or 4 years. And I can count on one hand the number of returns. And I can count on my other hand, the number of problems I've had with breakage or issues along that line. And in every one of those instances, eBay has had my back and taken care of the problem.
Oh, good.
Where there was no loss to our business for that transaction, and they've made the customer whole to ensure that they come back to eBay and shop again.
And there's another thing is that there may be an item and it's not selling, like you're only selling, let's say, to the United States, and then you open up and you're shipping globally, and you will sell that item. It will go to Spain, or it will go to Norway, or it will go to Japan, or it will go to Australia, because one, they can't get it in their country, or two, even with paying for the item, paying for the international shipping, and paying for any import they might be liable for, it's still less money than what it is in their country. Well, so you expand your market exponentially.
By selling internationally, you open your product up to 135 million active buyers. Yes. Why would you not want to put your product in front of 135 million people?
I think that says it all, Michael. Guys, I want to thank you so much for stopping by today. How much longer are you on campus?
All day today, and I think a half day tomorrow.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, thank you both. Enjoy the rest of your time here on campus, and tell people about the podcast you're on.
Thank you so much, Griff, for the
time.
Thanks,
Griff.
We've been talking with Michael Swope and Kathy Terrell, two sellers on eBay, but more importantly, two ambassadors for our government relations team. We'll put a link to the eBay Main Street site so that you can go and read and maybe decide you want to be an eBay ambassador for legislation that could definitely impact your business. You got questions? Well, we'll return next week with those questions. In the meantime, as always, you can call your questions into us or you can email them to us. The number is 888-723-4630 and the email address is podcast@ebay.com. I like to again thank our guests for this episode, Michael Swope and Kathy Terrell. And I'd also like to thank all of the eBay ambassadors who lobby Congress on behalf of all sellers. You can learn more at ebaymainstreet.com. On our next episode, we'll revisit our good friend Mark Yeager from Tax Act to talk about the infamous 1099-K and what the 2022 changes to the IRS regulations regarding who receives a 1099-K might mean for you. Don't forget to download the latest episodes of our sister podcast, the eBay Seller Spotlight Podcast with host Georgia Mampanis. You can find the Seller Spotlight Podcast in your podcast app of choice by searching for eBay Seller Spotlight, or you can go to ebay.com/podcast and you can find all the episodes that have been released so far in our community section. I'm Griff, and on behalf of everyone here at the podcast, we want to wish you a happy and safe Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.